Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Conversations Live, where we connect you with the artists and authors you love who bring you the music and books you can't get enough of. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. I want to once again thank those joining us here on the radio side of our program. We also welcome those joining us online around the world, thanks to blogtalkradio.com, either through our switchboard, our live chat, or our podcast. We're glad to have all of you with us. James J. Kaufman is back with us this year to talk to us not only about the literary journey that he's been on through the Collectibles trilogy, but also to talk about the second book in the series, The Concealers. Again, great layers that he's given us in his book, as well as an engaging storyline. We're going to talk to James not only about what it was like for him to revisit the characters, but also, of course, to be able to see the way that people are responding to it. James, good afternoon to you, and welcome back to Conversations Live.
Thank you very much, Cyrus. It's great to be back with you, and thanks for having me.
Well, look, the pleasure is definitely all mine. You know, I have to say, and you and I have, I should say, a matter of full disclosure, you and I talked not too long ago, and I told you how much I enjoyed the story. But I have to say this, I'm one of these people, and I love a great story regardless. But I think what has been so interesting to me about this series as it is developing, and I thought it with the Collectibles, I really was thinking to myself, how is he going to be able to top this? Because it was so good. The characters, I think, were so well fleshed out. And then you give us the Concealers, and you really take us to a totally different level, I think, with this one, James, in a good way. What has it been like for you to not only have these characters back in your life, but also to see the way that people are responding to them?
Well, thanks for your comments. It has been absolutely exhilarating, to be frank about it, the response that I've gotten from my readers about the second book. And you know, as a novelist writing a trilogy, this is my second book, because The Collectibles was so well received and won a bunch of awards and wonderful reviews, all of which meant a lot to me, but not nearly as much as the fact that my readers wrote to me and still are doing it every week, telling me personally how much the book meant to them and changed their lives in many ways, and how they couldn't wait for the second book. So, quite frankly, there was a degree of pressure on me and hope that I could fulfill their expectations with book two and have it really be satisfying for them. In terms of reception, that's been fulfilled in spades. I'm very happy about it because the reviews are coming in now, and what people are telling me is just what you just said earlier. They actually love book one, and they feel book two is even better and much more comprehensive in terms of carrying on the story of the Collectibles. So how I reacted to that is I was absolutely thrilled that that's the reaction, because it helps me feel I'm keeping my unspoken promise with my readers to meet their expectations.
Isn't there, you know, I think part of the challenge of for us as readers, I would say, this is what I thought, honestly, when I was reading this, James, and when I, even in reflecting in this conversation with you, what I wanted to talk about, there's so much in this, but I think one of the things that gets me is a question that all of us have to face, and that is, you know, is there such a thing as too much truth? Because I think some of the characters find it to be true that there is a certain level of the truth that does damage sometime, unfortunately. And I think, you know, people believe that if they're able to protect someone, and a lot of times protect even themselves, I would say, by not sharing all the truth, that it helps them. Is that one of the things that you think comes up in this book and with the characters? Is there such thing as too much of the truth?
Well, I think what you've done is put your finger on the heart of the issue about the truth. I think that as the new character that I introduced, Catherine Kelly, a 23-year-old investigative journalist, she has to grapple with the truth, because her mother told her since she was a child that her father was killed in the service, and it turns out that that was not the truth. But her mother had very good reason for telling her that, and I don't want to spoil the story for my
sure.
readers, but her mother told her that for good reason, but then there came a time when Catherine, in her investigative journey, was compelled to find out the truth, and she discovered that actually she has a different father, and he's still alive. But that's one level of the truth. And then she does investigative journalism and investigates bank fraud and finds out that there's a lot of concealment and deceit and lies in the story she's investigating. That's
mm-hmm.
yet another level of truth. When you talk about is there too much truth, it's in the abstract, it would be nice if we were always able to tell the full truth and people could accept it. I mean, we often tell people in a tactful way that they look nice, or they don't want to say that so and so's dress is just horrible or something. If you hurt someone's feelings and it wasn't productive, it wasn't constructive, then that could be too much truth. But if truth, in the sense that we're talking about, of breaching trust or being transparent about matters that relate to inherent core integrity and credibility, how can there be too much of that? And I guess one of the underlying questions that I raise in the concealers is, does the truth still matter today? Because we have so many examples. You have only to read the paper every day or listen to the news about people that are not telling the truth, and then finally they get caught, and then they talk about their lies, and then they figure if they tell everybody who hears that they're sorry and they apologize and go on, it's as if that never mattered. But it ends up being a breach of trust. So I think in this book, the various characters, Preston coming over from the Collectibles, first book one, and Catherine Kelly, the young investigative reporter who turns out to be his daughter, as she seeks the truth and tries to determine the balance of all of that, she has to balance that against what the effect is of telling the truth. In her case, as an investigative journalist, her choice is, does she go forward with a story and preserve her own integrity, or does she protect her family as a matter of principle, as she's told, and not disclose the truth, in which she would lose her soul? It's a Morton's fork, the difficult
exactly.
choice.
Exactly, it is. As I think is, you know, what you mentioned Preston, and Preston was one of those characters I think that so many of us could relate to from the first book, and it was interesting to see how his life would continue. I want to reset for those that are just tuning in. You're listening to Conversations Live. James J. Kaufman is back with us. We're talking to him not only about the literary journey that he's begun in the Collectibles trilogy, but the second book, The Concealers. And the question I had asked James was about the truth. It is one of those things in the book I think that is so interesting. I think, too, James, you were talking about it with Catherine, and I totally, you know, see the connection with her. There's also, I think, the truth of Preston. Preston, I think, if we remember, for those who have read the first book, and again, I'll talk kind of in a broad way to not spoil anything for those who haven't read either, but I think Preston had agreed to something before that we saw in the first book in the Collectibles, in a way to be able to help himself and to be able to help his family. There's the reminder of that in this book, of how when it comes to the decisions that we make, and especially the promises that we make, that these things don't have expiration dates. I thought it was so artful the way you included that in there, because a lot of times we think we'll come up to a point and we'll wash our hands of it and we've done our thing and we can go on to the rest of our lives. Do you think that is one of the things that we see with Preston, that he is forever learning that this is a way of life, it's not just something that has an expiration date?
Absolutely, and I think that's incisively put. Quite frankly, you've nailed it, because this is an arc in this story. Preston is grappling with the commitment he made to Joe Hart in book one, that he would earn the trust of and care for the Collectibles. And when he asked how long, Joe Hart told him for their lives and yours. Well, as Preston went about that journey to deal with these collectibles, none of whom he would ever have wanted to know, because they just weren't the type of men and women that he would, were his country club set, or that he would want to be socializing with. But he had to do it. So as he went about that chore in book one, he saw a new way of looking at life, and his lives and their lives were changed forever. But when Joe Hart died at the end of the collectibles, then the question becomes, what has Preston really done to fulfill his promise to the collectibles and to himself, which Joe Hart never held him accountable for, because he wanted Preston to hold himself accountable for that conduct. And so the arc of the story in The Concealers, where Preston is concerned, plus all the new challenges that he faces, which I won't detail, but they're exquisite challenges, does he really commit and continue to follow through with his relationship with these collectibles at a deep enough level that it's meaningful? And does it matter to him, given the fact that Joe Hart's not around and that's the man to whom he made the commitment? And the question is raised in The Concealers, how deep is the duty to the dead? What happens when you make a promise to a man or a woman and then they're not here any longer? Do you still owe that to the person? Do you owe it to yourself because you gave that person your word? How far and how long does that commitment go? And that's going to go to the really heart and essence of what Preston's all about and what he will become, because he faces a challenge in the arc of book two. Can he survive as a man, as a whole person, and how does he go about fulfilling his commitments, and how does he see himself in the process?
Yeah. Isn't there also, well, maybe this is going too much, but I have to say this, as someone who's not a father, I can't totally relate to this, but there is a great point that is made early on in this book, I think, that even though you would look at Preston's life, James, and think that things are better for him because of what the promise that he made, and because Joe took care of what he said he would take care of, and that he, as we see in the collectibles, we see a growth in Preston, do you think there is still a lack of appreciation? Because I think even in the little things, like in spending time with the son, that there's still the need to remind himself that there's more important things to life than getting ahead. It's an important lesson, I think, for all of us, and I thought about this myself. You know, I don't have a family like that for myself, but I thought about how this book really, in my opinion, and I'm curious as to what you as the author would say, is about the appreciation of what really matters.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and I think appreciation is a polite way to put it. I think it's also a question of the depth. What is the depth of Preston? What does he see in terms of looking outward and being? It gets to issues of central issues like humility. How does he see himself as he relates to the relationships he has with others and with his environment, and what are his obligations? How does he see himself? And as he goes about talking to these collectibles and they feel that he's really not all in, he's really not 100% committed, or when he calls Harry Koskowski and he says, you know, I really want to get together with you because we're this and that, and we want to do this, we want to do that, and Harry asks him quite simply, why? Why do you want to get together with me? And it never dawned on Preston that Harry might feel that, what is the reason for, what's the basis for this? So I think Preston's lack of appreciation, lack of comprehensive understanding with depth of what relationships are really all about, understanding that forgetting money and all the other factors that some people get caught up in, there's an underlying question in relationships of trust. And trust depends on the core performance of obligations in the right manner and for the right reason. So, yeah, I think he clearly lacks an appreciation. And whether he can gain that appreciation really comes out in book two, because he's now faced with not only his newfound daughter that he wants to be a really good father to, But he's also faced with his wife and his young son and all that is going to happen and does happen there. And if he doesn't get this together, he's going to risk losing everything that really matters to him, having nothing to do with business, having everything to do with people and relationships. So that's exactly what it is, that question.
Yeah, I think it is. Again, I mentioned at the beginning of this, there are several layers to this, James, and you definitely, throughout the book, were able to peel them all back. Again, everyone, you're listening to Conversations Live. James J. Kaufman is back with us. It's been 2 years since James was on with us. James, our first conversation was in November 2011. We were talking about your book at that time, The Collectibles. James is back with us talking about the second book in the trilogy, The Concealers. James, of course, with a trilogy, that means there's only one left. Are you starting to feel the sadness of having to let go?
No, I'm not feeling the sadness, but to be honest with you, I'm feeling excitement because now that I happened to get a Kirkus review 2 days ago, and it was just really positive, and it was wonderful to get it. And it stated a tagline that readers who like their fiction with a strong dose of inspiration and morality will enjoy this outing. And when I see the reviews coming in and that are on Amazon, and you can read them, the early reviews of readers, they're really getting what they asked me to provide, and that is book two that moves this story forward. What I'm looking at now is fulfilling my obligation to write book three in a way that will really bring this all together. And my goal, quite frankly, is, and hope and prayer actually, is that I can pull it all together in a full, comprehensive, meaningful way, preserving the arc of the entire trilogy, maintaining the credibility and integrity of the trilogy, and having my readers at the end feel, when they put the final book down, wow, this really came together, and I really got what I wanted to get out of it and can feel a lot about it. So that's what I'm feeling, is that challenge together with that excitement.
Well, let me ask you this, just strictly as the author of this, the creator of this story. Is there anything in this book that surprised you? Did you go into book two, James, with any idea that found itself changing as the characters evolved?
Absolutely, and I'll tell you what it was. I started out originally in book two. It was going to be called Catherine's Call, and it was all going to deal with her choice, finding out that her father might be implicated in the bank fraud she's investigating. She'd finally found the father of her dreams. She'd finally worked out different issues with him to the point that she knew that she wanted to really accept him as her father. And then she finds out that he could be involved in this fraud, and she has to make the decision whether to turn the story in or to protect him. That was the arc of the story. What, as I started to write it and really listen carefully to the characters as they talked and when I was writing, it surprised me because sometimes they go in a different direction and they go in different depth of feelings. It was really became a story not just of Catherine and her arc and her challenges and her wonderful story in terms of what she was facing, but also Preston's own evolvement and his tremendous challenges. And so Preston's presence in book two elevated far more than I thought it would. And Catherine's intertwining and cross-pollination, if you will, of her issues with his got more and more tangled up. So the book became increasingly complex and multidimensional, which I liked the end result, but was surprised by it.
All right. Well, I think readers will definitely enjoy this. Whether you have read The Collectibles or not, The Concealers is a book. I think you do a great job at the beginning of the book kind of catching people up in the first chapters, James. But I definitely would recommend that they do go ahead and take advantage of The Collectors and then being able to see what happened next in The Concealers. James, how can our listeners stay in contact with you, as well as how can they find out how they can get their own copy of the book as well?
Okay, well, thank you very much for that. They can get the book today at Amazon just by going to Amazon and James J. Kaufman, The Concealers. It's available in hardcover, softcover, and ebook on Amazon. And in addition, they can get in touch with me anytime, which I would love to hear from my readers. I told you that last time we talked, and I've had the blessing of being able to talk to so many book clubs and readers in the last 2 years, and I enjoy hearing from them. So I would ask my writers, please get in touch with me at jamesjkaufman.com. jamesjkaufman.com. That's the author website, and they can find out all information, and they can write to me there, and the email is there. It'll come to me. Cyrus, I answer every single email within 5 minutes of getting it, and have for the last 2.5 years. So these letters really matter to me, and I appreciate them and very responsive to them. So they can get the book on Amazon at the moment. Going forward in all three versions, Amazon at The Concealers and James J. Kaufman. And then towards the end of the month, our distributor will also be making it available in bookstores throughout the country and so on. But for right now, this is where to get it.
All right. So jamesjkaufman.com is the website to be able to stay in contact with James. And then, again, the book's available in all its forms on Amazon.com. James, congratulations to you again on a great read, and thank you so much for another great conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Cyrus. I truly appreciate you and the whole program. Thank you for having me.
Hey, glad to do it. Now, if you all came in late and missed part of the conversation with James, don't worry. You can catch the entire podcast here about 5 minutes after we go off the air. All you have to do is go to our radio website at conversationsliveradio.com. That's conversations with an S, liveradio.com. Also, if you're friends with us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, the link's already available on both of those places. You can head over to facebook.com/CyrusWeb or twitter.com/CyrusWeb. We actually tagged James. James is on Twitter as well. We tagged him on his Twitter page, which is at James J. Kaufman, and he also has a Facebook fan page as well at James J. Kaufman. We tagged both of his pages with the link, but you can click on that link, listen to the show completely for free, and also share it with your friends using the social media buttons that you'll find there. That's going to do it for us for this part of our program. Until next time, I'm Cyrus Webb saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music and, of course, a great book. Thank you all for tuning in to this edition of our program. You all have a great afternoon.